We want to think about areas of growth, places that we could really focus on, especially now over the summer. One of those is really doubling down and understanding how we daven, why we daven, and the way we daven. One of the ways to think about that is really looking at the way that people in Tanakh davened, and perhaps the way they didn't daven. We're going to see that from this week's Parsha in Parsha's Balak. If we reflect on a different part of the Torah, we can perhaps contrast Balak and Bilam with that of Avram Avinu. If you look back in Parsha's Vayera, when Avram Avinu was davening for Sodom, it says, Vayashkem Avram Aboker El Hamakom Asher Amad Sham Es Pene Hashem. And Avram woke up early in the morning and he stood there facing Hashem, in front of Hashem. The Gemara in Brachos and Da'avav and Aleph explains that from the word Amad Sham, that he stood there, we learn that Avram had a Makom Kavua. The Gemara continues and says that whoever has a Makom Kavua, Hashem will help him. And when he dies, they'll say about him, what a modest person, what a chassid. He must be from the students of Avram Avinu. The great Gaon of Zalman Sarotskin in his Perish on Chumash, Oznayim Torah, asks, why does someone deserve so much praise just because he davened in the same place every day? Is that such a big deal? So we also have that in yeshiva, right? You're assigned your place, you're assigned where your shir sits. Such a big deal? That, therefore, you become such a great person? Rav Sarotskin answers that we can see from this concept, from this Gemara, an incredible idea about how to improve our davening. We look at how and why Avram davened, as opposed to how and why Bilam davened. We can see two diametrically opposed ways of conducting our life, as well as davening itself. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, in Perikei, Mishnah Yud Tes, tells us the following. Kol mi sheyish biyado shlosh dvarim halalu, whoever has the following three things, mitamido shel Avram Avinu, we know he's like a talmid of Avram Avinu. Ushlosh dvarim acherim, however, three other things, mitamidim shel Bilam harasha, he's like a talmid of Bilam harasha. Right? What is those midos of Avram Avinu? Ayin tova, a good eye. V'ruach nemucha, a submissive spirit, he's humble. V'nefesh shafala, and a lowly soul, like a more expressive language of humbleness. Then, mitamidav shel Avram Avinu. However, ayin ra, if someone has an evil eye, v'ruach gavoa, and he's very haughty, very egotistical. V'nefesh rechava, and a desirous soul. Mitamidav shel Bilam harasha. He is like a talmud of Bilam harasha. The fundamental principles behind Avram's students are that of humbleness, selflessly giving to others. Avram walked into a situation where the people of Sodom basically dug their own grave. They destroyed every piece of good moral fiber that had existed within its inhabitants, to the extent as Avram couldn't even find 10 tzaddikim. Hashem had had enough and wanted to wipe them off the face of the planet. Yet Avram had a good eye. He saw some good in them, that they should be saved. He had a generous soul. He was davening for people that he wasn't related to and did nothing for him. But yet they were still clearly guilty. But yet he faced Hashem head on in order to save them. However, the most spectacular thing was the way he approached this awesome task. With the utmost humbleness and lack of greed. When he asked Hashem to save them, he could have said, Hashem, listen to me. I'm the first one. I'm Asher Bracharta B'Avram. I'm the first believer. I'm the first Mamid. Yet he didn't. All he said was, I am dust and dirt. Anochi afer ve'efer. Yet listen to me anyway, please. Yet if you look at the characteristics of Bilam and how he prayed, you see a completely opposite view of how a person can act. Bilam had an evil eye. He wanted to kill even the tzaddikim. He was incredibly haughty. He said, who is this Hashem that wants me to go with these people? He only wanted to go to princes. He was extremely selfish and craved physical gain. Because when Balak came to him, one of the main concerns was the money. There probably couldn't be two people who are so different like Avram and Bilam. However, the difference is even more striking when you look at the manner in which they prayed. As we said, Avram stood there, meaning in one place repeatedly. However, Bilam knew that his tefillah would be repulsed by Hashem. So the second time he davened, he actually said, please, let us go to a different place. You see that later on in Perek Chav Gimel in Bamidbar. Then he actually said it again when his tefillahs were again rejected. He knew it was inappropriate to daven for what he was davening for, and certainly he wouldn't do it at the same place twice. As opposed to Avram, who specifically davened in one place over and over again. He believed that the place itself would become an inherently kodesh and purified through his holy tefillos. He knew and he believed that because his tefillos were selfless and not and for his honor or for his benefit, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would hear his tefillos. Now we see and understand the Gemara in Brachos. It's crystal clear. If somebody has a set place to daven, and they daven with purity and selflessness like Avraham Avinu, then, of course, they'll say about him, he's humble, he's a chassid, because then he's truly emulating our holy ancestor, Avraham Avinu. Rav Sarotskin, he answers this question, but he gives us a tremendous goal to reach for. It's not enough to simply daven in the same place three times a day. That we do almost by rote, right? We all have our set places in shul where we daven, our families daven, we have a place in yeshiva where we daven every single day. We're very possessive about our seats for davening. That's not enough. We have to emulate Avraham Avinu in the way we davened, in the mental manner in which he davened. Again, and recognizing that Kadosh Baruch Hu is amazing. He gives us so much. And in a very, very simple, humble way to approach a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We can begin to understand why the Gemara in Brachos tells us that now in post-Chorban, with the Dov Beis HaMikdash, and we're about to enter into the 3 weeks, to begin to think about that which we're lacking. So the place, unfortunately, that we can't daven anymore, that was the Beis HaMikdash. Where do we find the Shechina today? The Gemara tells us in shuls. The shuls are Mikdash Ma'at. But in order to understand that, to understand the places of Beis HaMikdash, it's a place where Kadosh Baruch Hu is meeting us there. Rav Shachter writes in his Sefer Eretz Tzvi that the shul is our home where we invite a Kadosh Baruch Hu in. But we have to be there waiting for him. Right? Can you imagine showing up and greeting the Rabbonu Shalom, but yet coming late to that meeting? It's almost unfathomable that someone could come late to davening. Someone could come late to a meeting with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. If we had a meeting with the most powerful person, imagine the most famous person that you would ever want to meet. Would we ever come late to that meeting? It's really incomprehensible. So Be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach, we can be like Avraham Avinu, be humble and recognize Da Lifnei Miat Omed, recognizing we're standing in front of our Kadosh Baruch Hu, and God willing, if we can follow the model of Avraham Avinu and not the model of Bilam HaRasha, God forbid, so then our tefillos can be enriched, we can be powerful, we can begin to think about and understand why we daven, where we daven, and how we daven in order to maximize every single opportunity to daven in front of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Ribbono Shalom, and literally the Master of the Universe. Hashem should bless you all that our tefillos should become improved, especially over the summer when we're not as rushed, we have a little more time on our hands, we can begin to just think about why we do what we do and how we do what we do, so that God willing, we can, if Hashem, come back to yeshiva again in September to have an amazing, amazing tefillos all together. Have a wonderful day and an amazing, inspirational summer.